2, 3, 4.
I think a good teacher is someone that comes to school not for the fact that they're getting paid, and they come to school for the student.
It's a boy thing.
What I think makes a good teacher is a teacher that's willing to connect with their students, make an effort to get to know their students.
It's a boy thing.
Like, when the teacher's approachable and you don't feel intimidated when you go up to talk to them.
It's a boy thing.
Welcome to my recording studio today, which is my bedroom because I actually have COVID. So I want to say your expression, Chris, that today I truly do have a face for radio.
I love that. But the thing that we were laughing about because we were just chatting is that my face, I'm at work, but I look just as bad as you do. I don't have COVID or any other excuse. I just look wrecked.
Yeah, I can. From knowing Chris very well and working with him for quite some time, I know the face that he is exhibiting today, and it is called Under the Pump.
Yeah, so there you are in bed with COVID, and what's the bet? In fact, I know you are monitoring your students' work from your bedroom right now.
My email's up, and I have boys doing an assessment. My level ones are doing an assessment, and my level threes are doing a practice piece for a film with my level three class. I'm laughing at myself because the theme of the course is dystopian literature. And yesterday I went into my role, saw that the only three students were away, but there was a number of students that were not on their documents when I went in. So they got comments made to them, and then there was a posting that went into the classroom at the end saying, I could see that a lot of you were not on there. And of course, it was very ironic that we're doing dystopian literature and control and surveillance, and here is Bagley from a distance controlling,
surveilling,
and holding them to account. So how is it going? It's going good. I know that people, when they have time off for sickness, believe they shouldn't work, and I respect that. I've been quite lucky this time with this COVID that it's more of a mild case. Otago Boys does have a policy, I would say a lot of people do actually, that you have to stand down for 5 days. So that's why I'm at home, but I'm keeping my programs running.
Something that people probably don't know about teaching unless they are in teaching, probably a lot of people listening to us are in teaching, but it is worth mentioning that when we're not able to come to class, we still have to write our plans and provide the students with the resources. And we're still actually teaching our classes. We're just not physically in the room. And it's huge when you're sick, isn't it?
Oh, and that's why I think, you know, on Sunday when I tested positive and I sent you that photo and you thought it was a pregnancy test.
Yes.
It wasn't.
So that's you. That's your gay boyfriend.
Yeah.
You shoot me a test that looks like that, and I immediately think you're pregnant.
Obviously, when I sent that text on Sunday, then I was having to set relief, and my husband was going to the beach. Anyway.
Well, I wanted to start back where we left off last time and ask about your presentation at the conference, because it was going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. I'm really keen to hear how it played out.
I really loved the experience. I did start off by saying to the attendees that, you know, you had asked me to present, and obviously you have imposter syndrome. That's more of a female thing, as I understand it, than a male thing or an experience. But I did have the imposter syndrome, but actually really loved the presentation, loved the people that came along. I saw some of the photos that Olivia, your colleague, had taken of me, and I went, man, I look fierce. But I was in my zone, which was just delivering the message. I'm not sure how it was received. There was definitely some positive feedback at the end, people that were saying, oh, my goodness, this is how I teach, so you just were affirming for me. Some people that were new to teaching that went, oh, my goodness, I would love if you were my HOD, what a badass. And then some people that I may have upset because I possibly didn't give them the answers they wanted, or I challenged their way of thinking. So a lot of it was, my topic was around changing mindsets. I do believe from seeing things in boys' schools, but also from how my son can be treated at times, that there's definitely that, as I said in my sort of blurb for it, treat him mean, keep him keen approach with boys. Sometimes people are really, I think they're kind of bullyish to kids. Maybe that's not the best way to frame it, but it's just not an approach that I would take. And I don't think that all boys respond to that. So I set that up as my premise at the beginning and wanted to debunk it. But I talked about all the ways in which I think I get the best from boys without having to be mean to them, without having to ridicule them, without having to belittle them, humiliate them, slam their desk up against the whiteboard at the front of the room and make a spectacle out of them. So I just thought I'd quickly cover the points. You know, I looked at sort of what my pedagogy is, which is around the high expectations with high care, which is about building those relationships, obviously, that I focus heavily on literacy and literature. So those are the big thing, obviously, you would hope in an English teacher's classroom, by the way. I do intertwine the skills. So everything is sort of working and is marrying and mashed together. I ensure that every lesson counts and leads towards outcomes. And I'm really explicit in that with my students as well. So I am a very explicit teacher in terms of making sure they know the skills that they're learning. I don't teach to assessments. That's not me. You know that, Chris. But at the same time, I do make it very clear as to what is expected of the boys when we are working, as in what will be coming assessment-wise. I do a lot of formative assessment. And with that obviously comes the feedback, feed forward, and then for myself as adjusted practice.
Well, I find it really hard to imagine how that's contentious. Do you think some people were troubled by any of this?
Well, maybe if we give this example, come back to it. I'm off with COVID. I'm still responding to emails. I'm working. I'm keeping the boys accountable for the work. I checked everyone's docs yesterday and gave individualized feedback, and then some of the boys weren't doing their work, and so they responded. You know, I put a comment that said, I see that you haven't done the work today. Are you okay? Then last night when some of my hostel boys were in prep, oh, sorry, miss, I didn't know how to do this. And I replied back to them at 7 o'clock at night. Okay, that's contentious.
It's the high press, high care thing.
Yeah.
Like you can say those words, but if you're going to actually do it as a teacher, it all involves being committed to the work outside of the classroom. It involves a huge amount of personal dedication.
It does. I think coming back to that question, though, when you talked about my pedagogy and why would that have been contentious in that room, I believe it was the challenge to, like we finished with on our last podcast, just do your job and do it well. And I believe in doing my job. It's like you with your upbringing, with your mum, and really driven in her work. Same with my parents, self-employed, own their own business. And therefore, we've had these role models in our lives that have shown us you have to work hard, regardless of your profession. You do it well, and you do a bloody good job.
So we're basically also saying that what we're talking about when we're talking about holding boys to account, being present to their learning, responding to them, making sure that we pay attention to them, giving them the kind of feedback and kind of individual attention that they will sometimes need. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be working really hard.
Coming back to my own children, but thinking about the boys in my classes, if I'm asking them to work hard for me, then I've got to work hard for them.
Students do notice when you work hard, and sometimes they even draw attention to it. Like they'll say, oh, you know, you must have been up late last night. And my immediate response is exactly the same as yours. I just say, oh, I always match your work with my work. And it's a very straightforward transaction. It's not emotional blackmail. It's not saying, oh, what a good person I am, you should be so grateful. It's actually not that at all. It's simply saying, oh, well, I mean, this was hard work for you, and actually, I've now got some hard work like yours to get done.
I care for them by doing the work, and I invest in their success, and I want the best outcomes for them.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're talking about high care, high press. But as it turns out, for us as English teachers, high press is high care. They're not even separate things. They're not things that go alongside each other. They are the same thing. So by asking a lot and offering a lot, you're showing care.
I come back to the presentation at college when I did that, obviously a few weeks ago now. I hope that it was well received. I appreciate from reading the room that possibly it wasn't well received by all. but you're never going to get everyone.
I mean, I was thinking about those dichotomies that people set up and how annoying they can be. One of the ones that annoys me is the work to live, live to work dichotomy. Imagine for a start separating work from your life and, and interpreting those things as separate. It's not a binary, but really being a teacher, like living the life of a teacher and making your life something that is an extension of that identity. That's where I am. I am proud to be a teacher every minute of every day. I'm not teaching every minute of every day. So my work is an expression of who I am. Because I guess the other thing is that we are doing these things in service of the boys and our own ethics. But there's a lot of fulfillment in working hard at something and seeing it come to fruition, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I do. And sorry, I just want to go back to that presentation. One of my final points was being authentically you. So this is what you've actually talked about. It's being authentically yourself. You can't switch off and be, it's very Severance, by the way. It's that whole thing of, again, what you're talking about, you don't compartmentalize your life and you're this person and certain that, you know, it's all you and you've got to be authentically you as well. That's really important for getting the best out of our learners. I remember when I started teaching, Jude, can't think of her surname, who was a teacher at
Faircloth.
Thank you, Faircloth Harding. Hi, Jude, if you're listening. And she said to me, oh, you're just great. The kids can detect bullshitters and you're not. And so her big thing was that it stayed with me. This was my first year of teaching at Mount Aspiring, that I was who I am, you know, and that the kids would respond well to that.
The other thing you can't fake is liking the job. Like if you don't like the job, then the first people who are going to figure that out are the kids sitting in front of you and they're going to be merciless.
I know.
Like, I mean, it just isn't for everyone, is it? I can list off 1,000 other jobs that I would do if I was just wanting to occupy myself and earn some money, and I would never put teaching on that list. There's just too much involved. And I think it's good to be unapologetic.
We live good lives.
We do live good lives. And I think for me as a gay man, I think one of the things that I get from it, which is additional, is just a meaningful role in society. Because I'm not parenting anyone. I don't have children myself. It's you can actually just end up existing in quite a solipsistic life. And instead of that, what I've got is a job where I know that I have a role that is of value to people, and just feeling as if you are of value is very healthy. It's very life-giving.
Oh, I know. And I know that that's been your thing. See, Chris has always been somebody that, I'm talking about you as if you're not here, I'm telling the listeners, that you've always been somebody that's given your time freely. Yes, in the classroom, but largely beyond it. I think about your triathlon clubs, for example, and the amount of love and care that you gave those students and their whānau. You know, some of the things that you paid for that they probably don't even know that you paid for, but I know that you always said to me that you did this because, of course, these children sort of, because you don't have your own children, you're able to do this. And again, it's like that selfless life, which I love. But it also means that you have been an influential figure for so many young individuals.
As have we all. Like I can absolutely say the same of you. And I think in particular, like it's a gendered thing for you. I think the role model that you are as a woman is really important, and actually, to be honest, I think even more important in a boys' school where you are now. Our society needs to rectify its attitudes towards women, and you help that by presenting somebody to the students who they can really respect and value, who has substance and who is unequivocal in their moral and ethical standards and all those kinds of things. And I think it's really good for us to be doing these things. They're just us being who we are. But that just comes back to you saying you need to be who we are.
Yes.
But it turns back to there being a benefit to us personally for being who we are. We strengthen in those things. So a wonderful job to do, by the way. This is almost turning into an ad for teachers, which is... Oh, no, I was thinking in respect of stuff that's been in the media recently, there's also this issue with attendance. It's like no one's going to school in New Zealand. What the heck is that about? I'm actually properly worried about the future of our society if half of our young people aren't even going to school. Be interesting to break down single-sex versus co-ed schools in terms of attendance, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's things that we do as single-sex schools in terms of getting the boys involved in the wider life of the school, which I think drive attendance. Mm. Like they might only be coming to school because they've got triathlon club or drama or whatever it is they're involved in, but it does get them here.
You see, that was one of the things that was said earlier on in the year, that generally the boys only attend school at level three because they want to come for sport. I think boys are more multi-layered than that.
Yeah. It's sort of disrespectful. I mean, it kind of suggests that they don't appreciate the value of their education, which I just don't believe it, to be honest. But I also think that they get really passionate about their sport, and yes, that's great.
I thought that one thing, I'm coming back to that article, something that we could explore in terms of what we do also in our classes as we move through the podcast, that maybe hooks learners in.
Sounds a good idea. Let's make the next podcast about some specifics, like what actually happens in our classroom.
Yeah, I think that that would be really interesting. Well, and the other thing is the article did obviously talk about the fact that one day here or there does actually add up, and it does.
It does. It absolutely does. We're actually going to ask the boys what they think makes a good teacher for this week's voice. Mm. So it'd be really interesting to see what they come up with. I'll probably edit their answers throughout this podcast, so you may have already heard a few of their points of view by now.
Yes. It's good to mash some voices in amongst ours.
Thanks for making the time for this as well. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm loving it. Enjoy the rest of your day. Get through those last 30 papers.
I will. All right.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
It's a Boy Thing, a fortnightly chat about teaching English to boys with Gina and Chris.
It's when the teacher doesn't treat the students like their students, like they treat them like they're kind of like colleagues.
I think what makes a good teacher is clear set deadlines, good communication, willingness to like go over topics that some of us might find confusing.